Go ahead. You can choose a table. You want a different table for the ulama? You have your own problems? Okay. Brother Arif, it's a good intention. If you can set up a table here for ulama and give the same 5 questions to them also, we'll get a 6 table set. Ad hoc. Good idea.
The workshop is designed that they...
No, don't worry about it. You know, we redesigned it right now. On the spot, spontaneously. Right? So, if we can have the ulama just take their chairs and make a round over here. No table. We just need the chairs. Don't worry about the table. We just need the chairs. If you all can just make a round over here. Just make a round over here. Don't worry about the tables, guys. No, right here. You're at the head of the hall. Don't worry. We will not kick you out. You are really at the head of the hall, and we are going to really make use of your presence here. Okay, everyone, if you're at the table, ladies, are you at the tables? Okay, good. I see the men took over that table. I'm sorry, ladies. I said first come, first served, you know. But there's some more room over there on that table there. Add some chairs, and we're going to start up right now. Brother Arif.
Yes.
Are the questions on the table?
Yes. All the questions are basically on the screen right now.
Okay. Very good.
You will see the questions on the screen.
Yes. If you can put the questions on the screen, please.
Brother
Zulfiqar, would you put the questions on the screen?
Can you hold it?
And we'll let the ulama see the questions because they don't have it in writing in front of them. Okay, here are the questions. Let me read it for you. Things that we all face in our life. Number one, what is driving lack of engagement among the youth within our local communities? What is affecting them today? And what will affect them in the future? That's one question. Second question. Where are the youth attracted to and why?
You gave it to Maulana Bey.
Well, we know where they're attracted to. But why is the question, right? That's good. But that's an issue that we face. And you all as parents and grandparents face this issue every day of your life. And you're thinking about this, and this issue, these issues are dear to you. That's why we have them on the board here, for you to answer and look into and share your experiences. Now we have, what are the reasons behind racial, cultural, and color divisions among Shia Muslims? It's an issue that we face. It doesn't matter whether it's black and white. It's not a black and white issue. It's so much of an issue in terms of ethnicity, in language, whether you're being an Arab or Pakistani or Urdu speaking, Farsi speaking. So many different issues are there facing the community, and it's dividing us as a people. Number four, what attributes of an Islamic organization will create the most impact locally and nationally? So you come to Muslim Congress, what do you see that an organization such as Muslim Congress can become or do in order to have a greater impact on the community? Five, what suggestions would you have for Muslim Congress to be a platform of choice for Shia Muslims? What would enhance this and make this a platform for the Shia Muslims in America? Well, these are issues that we have, some of them that face you, some of them that face us, but we can share our experiences together. So what we have right now first, Brother Arif, right?
Yes, Maulana.
What we have right now first is this. We want you to take time now, and I'm going to set the timer right now. For each question, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. While it was 3 minutes, now I'm going to reduce it to 2 minutes. Do we have a timer?
Yes, Maulana, we do have a timer. So let's put the, in this session, we will give you 3 minutes per question.
Actually 2 minutes, because I just reduced it because we don't have time.
So, Maulana,
2 minutes.
That's
all right.
Okay.
2 minutes, a question. The first question is, right? The first question, you're going to spend 2 minutes, just write down ideas.
Go back.
Write down ideas about, would you put the questions back up, please? Yes, the first question, what is driving the lack of engagement, the lack of enthusiasm amongst youth within our communities, and what is affecting them today and in the future? Just write down your ideas, that's it. Right, this time is just to brainstorm. Write down your ideas, everyone on the table. Write down your ideas about the first question. 2 minutes starts right now. Any idea that you have, you don't need to think about it, just whatever comes to your mind.
There is no right or wrong in this. So whatever you have in your mind, just, you know, put it in there. You can attempt all five questions, at the same time.
Exactly. It could be your concerns, your ideas. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. The idea is what's in your heart in this issue. Just go ahead, write it down. Right now, the first question. If more people want to take part, just take the chairs and get on the table there. We have spaces on the table. Just, yes, there are those empty, the forms there. You see the yellow stickers? Write down your ideas there on those stickers.
Yes.
Regarding the first question. Amazing. I'm sure a lot of you have many ideas, many things that are in your mind and in your heart because you have children. Children who are young, children that you are concerned about, children that really, that you really want the best for them. So, whatever is in your heart, what you think, write it down.
11:39, right?
If I can have some volunteers up here, bring some of those tables there, over here where the ulama can actually use the tables to write it down. The scholars are also doing some work. If Brother Heather, you know, yes, we can bring some of these tables here, right?
Brother Zafar, can you go back to the question?
Yeah, yes.
And if you will, you guys all can stick your answers that you come up with to the chart that you have it in the back. You see that?
Okay, there is a chart. Yes.
Flip chart. You can post all your sticky notes there.
Right. Organize them in that way. You can organize your sticky notes and you can have them as under question one.
Well, just put put all of the sticky notes there. I mean, you don't have to write the questions, but, you know, feel comfortable because you only have 9 more minutes left now. Now, the reason why it is so much less time is whatever is coming to your mind right at this moment.
Yes, because it has to be spontaneous. You don't have to actually make things up. It should be what's in your heart and your mind, not something that you try to think about. Nothing comes, then you don't have children. But if you do have children, you'll think of something, many things, right? Then I don't know what you took last night.
Abbas.
Bara Shamshad, please. This is the ulama table right here. He says, I want to be one of the people. All right, time's up for this question. All right, let's go to question number two, guys. Question number two. Don't worry about answers. Question number two. What are the youth attracted to? It is, what are the youth attracted to and why? You look at your children and you see them being attracted to so many things. Maybe it's games, maybe it's sports, maybe it's like vain things, maybe it's good things. Just whatever it is, why do you think they're attracted to different things in their life?
Brother Zulfiqar, do we have a check on time?
Eight more minutes. Eight.
Okay. Again, there are no right and wrong answers here. They're just answers. The prize is self-realization. You get to know yourself.
If you see the table is full, doesn't matter. You just grab a chair and join the table.
Yes, you can join the table. Don't worry about it because
there's
your
no
input is important. You're right, Brother Arif. Your input is very important. And we need to get you to give your input. That's it. And really, it's not that Muslim Congress has 2 hours that are free here that you want to waste, you know. It is an important session and the feedback session. Okay. Are we ready? Time's up there, so we'll go to the next one. What are the reasons? Number three, everyone now. Number three, what are the reasons behind racial, cultural, color divisions among Shia Muslims? Where do you think these divisions come up from? Every time you see even the masjids and the centers are based on ethnocentric backgrounds, everyone's just making their own things. Even in marriages, they only look for their own people, you know. It's always like we're so ethnocentrically divided amongst ourselves. Why do you think that's the case? Why do you think that's happening? Is this what the Prophet wanted? Is this what the Imams wanted? Or is this something that came about over time?
So we have another 6 minutes.
Second question, okay, what are the youth attracted to? What are the youth attracted to and why? And obviously, you're just telling about your own experiences, your children's experiences, you know, what you see happening. Brother Zulfikar, time?
Less than 5 minutes.
All right, less than 5 minutes, so. Well done, everyone. All right, so now, we'll go to the fourth question now. The fourth question. And that is, what attributes, what characteristics, qualities of an Islamic organization will create the most impact locally and nationally? This is in general terms. Generally, when you look at an Islamic organization, what would make it more effective? You know, what will have a better impact? What kind of working method, what will make it actually useful and productive? And again, just write down what's in your mind. There's no right and wrong answers. Just spontaneously write down what you think. We need to know what your heart and mind says.
If more people want to join, you know, this table right here does have some room.
So yeah, there's some tables over here that have rooms. You know, please go ahead, join in.
You can join from a middle question.
Yeah, you can join right now. Don't worry about, you know, the other questions. We're just giving input.
What is the time check?
3 minutes, 15 time. Seconds.
All right, we have time.
Groups in the idea, and answering to one photographer.
Okay, I think now we're done with the fourth one. Now let's go to the fifth one in the last 1.5 minute that we have. And now specifically, you are here at Muslim Congress. Some of you have been here for many years. Some of you have been here for the first time. And as an organization that serves, you know, is a national organization that's representing Shias all over, what suggestions would you have for Muslim Congress to be a platform of choice? I mean, to be something that represents Islam, especially Shia Islam in this time. What would be ideas that you can give? You know, that you would think that, wow, this would make it better. This would make it, you know, so much more useful and productive. So go ahead, just whatever ideas you have, write it down.
1 minute, 30 seconds.
Brother, if you want, you all can also join a table. We're going to start the discussion now. If you want to be a part of the discussion, please, you know, you can join the table, because now we're going to have a discussion after this ideas that we give, brainstorming we do right now. We'll have a discussion now for each table. So if you want to join in the discussion, go ahead, you know, just be in the table and there'll be a discussion. Again, these are issues that are related to your life. Your everyday life, you are going through this every morning you wake up and every night that you sleep. You're concerned about these issues. It's your children, your future. And if you're not concerned about it, well, you should be. All right, Brother Zulfikar, time?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. You know, they say that the only night of freedom that we have in the year is Laylatul Qadr, you know, and at Fajr it ends. So your freedom of giving opinion is ending in 15 seconds.
Time is up.
All right, time's up, everyone. That's good. Don't worry about anything else. Now we're going to go to the other part, the second part. Until now, what we have done is that we got ideas. We have collected ideas, we have collected your views, we have collected things from all of you. Now what we're going to do is actually try to consolidate what we have given as ideas. Because ideas, you know, are useless. As one person says, that ideas are like, well, I can't say it, but they all stink. Right. The fact is that ideas are useless unless we actually put them into a plan. And those ideas need to be consolidated and prioritized. So the next session that we have right now is within the tables themselves. I'm going to give each table the opportunity to have a discussion about each question. About each question, take your time to discuss. We have 45 minutes for this session. Now what we're going to do is this. We're going to consolidate the ideas and then we're going to prioritize them. See what idea is getting the most importance. And how many people think that's the case? So you discuss that amongst yourself about the ideas, and then after that, we're going to choose a spokesperson from amongst each table. So go ahead, everyone. Look at the ideas that you have. You can take the sheet off of the board. Take the sheet off of the board, and you can have it on the table itself. So if you want, the ulama here also can make a circle around, and like everyone else, and then see what ideas that they gave. And have a discussion about each of the questions. Take time to answer the questions and see what's important. Prioritize them, consolidate them, and then hopefully we'll get an idea from each table as to what they came up with. So go ahead, it's your time now, your discussion, and your view. Go ahead.
We might have to give a time for the discussion, so let's give them 10 minutes for the discussion.
Okay, so we are saying that we're going to give you total 15 minutes. It's important for them to discuss each thing. Okay. 15 minutes for the discussion, 5 questions, everyone. Go ahead. You got 15 minutes to discuss each thing and the ideas that have been given. Try to put those ideas together and then see what are the most important things people paid attention to. And 15 minutes, go ahead.
So in these 15 minutes, you also have to consolidate those answers as well, you know, group them together type of things. If two people have the same idea, group it together and post it on the chart so that you have, you know, automatic summaries coming for those. So just make sure that, and you have 15 minutes for that. Brother Zulfiqar, can you put the questions back again? Brother Zulfiqar, can you put the questions back again?
Yes, you can please put the questions back up again. Thank you. Here they are. The questions are on the board. All right, granted. More time. I know. Listen, there's no need for lunch. This is important. This is about our life. We can eat lunch later.
Salat is right here.
And prayer. Yeah.
No, it's 12 o'clock. He's saying don't worry about lunch.
Lunch. We'll skip lunch and go straight to prayer. Yeah. People here are muttaki, you know. Hatmai. Groups, we ask you, tables, we ask you to do these things in a timely manner. So there's not need, I mean, just discuss the important points and go forward to the next question. So we have about 10 more minutes left, so you can go to the next question. Now obviously I can understand that the first 2-3 questions might be more important than the other ones, all right?
Okay, brothers and sisters, the time is up. The next part of this section. Each one of you will have 5 minutes for the next section.
Welcome back, and that's the end of this session, the end of this part of the session, which is your time, which is now you took the time to think about the issues at hand. You took the time to prioritize those issues and write them down and get those ideas together to actually make some sort of a sense out of them. So what we're going to do right now is the last part of this, because now we're going to share amongst ourselves what you came up with. So I ask each table to choose a spokesman who will present your findings, who will speak about your findings. Each table will have 5 minutes to speak on the issues. So just if you can have a spokesman for each table. You can have more than one if you want to, you know, for each question, but you have 5 minutes to give a presentation. I'll give you 5 minutes for that. Just choose a spokesman or more than one who will speak about the different things. So go ahead, you make your plan. 5 minutes you will have each to give your findings to the rest of the hall.
So Marana, now they have 5 minutes to...
So if we are ready, I think, you know, we have table number 2 is ready. They have been ready, they said, for the last 10 minutes. So if you can, Brother Arif, take them... them start. They got 5 minutes. No, you're table number 3. I'm starting from my left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So table number 2 is going to start their findings. They have 2 spokesmen. You can give the mic over to them, Brother Arif, and I will ask them. So who's the first spokesman? What's his name?
My name is Sayyid Muhammad Jafri.
Sayyid Muhammad Jafri. All right, Sayyid Muhammad Jafri, what do you do for a living?
I am a transplant hepatologist.
Okay, that's great. You know, translate that.
I tell people not to drink.
Okay, great. Very good. Okay, so go ahead. You can start your findings. You can stand up. Muhammad, you can stand up and face the audience. Right? And explain to them what your group found.
So for the first question, and can we put the questions up on the screen? So for the first question, we were talking about some of the problems with the community as a whole in terms of youth issues. The things that we pointed out as being problematic were that there's an emphasis on cultural Islam over what the actual teachings are of Islam. There is a lack of youth involvement in leadership. There's a lack of responsiveness to youth input by the leadership. And there are problems among parents and children that can come into play within centers and within leadership structures. So that was number one.
So for number two, we had like the obvious, like youth like to have fun. And I, as a youth, I can say that we love having fun. But I think also—
Hey brother, please hold your mic up so you can hear you.
Should I repeat what I said? Okay, so as a youth, I can say that having fun is one of the most important things to the youth. It has to be something that we enjoy doing. But also, like something that isn't necessarily as obvious is involvement and activism. We love being involved in things that we know more about. And I think Islam, in a way, sometimes in certain communities, is presented in a way that's not as engaging for the youth. And I think to solve that problem, there has to be a couple steps taken. And I think involving fun, in whatever definition, with Islam, or making Islam enjoyable at its core, would be a way for to increase involvement for the youth.
So before you guys move on, I just wanted to make sure that you guys are putting in a fresh sheet these consolidated answers, so that, you know, in the end of the session, we will take that sheet. You know, it is important, whatever you guys are capturing are very, very important for us. So make sure you put it in a blank flip chart over there. Thank you.
Will do. So for number three, I think, was about the racism one, right? Why there's racism among Shia Muslims. Oh, here. What's the reason between the racial divides and the cultural and color division? So a big one was language barrier. We felt like a lot of people group themselves based on the language they speak, and they're not always comfortable speaking to people in English or in Urdu or whatever language there are. Another one was differences in background and people feeling comfortable just hanging out with other people of the same background, and it was more about comfort and what they had grown up with than it was sort of meaningful divisions. The media bias we talked about in detail, and how some of the media bias about different cultural groups came into play in terms of the way that people saw each other and interacted with each other. And then we talked about just people not wanting to be around people that were different than them.
What question was number four about? What was that?
One was about Islamic organization, what will make it more impactful and effective.
So for number four, we talked about trying to make an impact through Islamic organizations, and we talked about the importance of unity in terms of making an impact, having a large number of people working together towards a common goal. We talked about having a long-term vision from educated ulama and educated leaders, and the importance of thinking long-term rather than just doing short-term or just moving from one day or one month or year at a time. We talked about the importance of interacting with the community around them and engaging with the community around them, visiting local communities and speaking to them on an individual basis, as well as speaking to them at larger conferences. And then we talked about the importance of a rational discussion of faith, that a lot of people were being lost because they didn't see Islam as a rational religion, and we should be teaching it through that focus in terms of youth especially, and helping people understand the depth of Islamic thought and Tawheed.
Yeah, and that also ties in with number five, which talks about how Muslim Congress can be involved more. One person in our group had mentioned that Muslim Congress needs to reach out to like those isolated communities, like out in the middle of nowhere, that doesn't necessarily have any involvement in like the greater scope of Islam, like on the national level. And they mentioned that the Muslim Congress would have to reach out to those small communities at its own expense, right? It's the responsibility of a larger organization like this to reach out to the smaller communities that don't have as many resources. And I know that Muslim Congress is doing things like this already, but I think it can definitely be improved, as always. Collaboration was something that we mentioned, and this isn't necessarily collaboration with other organizations, but collaboration with like other ways of thinking. So it's not like a political thought, just the way like youth approach things is sometimes different than the way that the older generation approaches things. Also, interaction. The way that the youth interact with Islam is very different to the way that people that have been practicing Islam their whole life and grew up in an Islamic environment practice Islam and interact with Islam. As a youth, living in...
You have 10 more seconds.
Got it. And living in a nation of and an ideology of skepticism, we're meant to question every small thing, every small detail. And Muslim Congress as a whole has the resources to come up with some kind of approach to this problem. And I think it's one of the biggest problems that faces our community.
All right, that's a very good job. Number five, salawat. No, two. Okay, I ask Arif, please keep the time and give each table a 1 minute warning, you know, and 4 minutes are up, all right?
Okay, so now.
So right now we'll go over here to the ladies' side to number four. The ladies over there in the corner, right? Let's go over there and get an input from them. Yeah, please introduce yourself.
Okay. Okay. The time is now.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. So in regards to number one, the lack of engagement among the youth, the main thing that our group discussed was that a lot of times it's technology that's holding back the youth from, you know, personal interactions and, you know, not being able to communicate properly. And oftentimes a lot of youth need technology to be the medium for them to become involved in something. And we aren't always as up to date with our technology and our social media, which is often why they can kind of be not so much as engaged. And then also, a lot of our programs are adult-led, so a lot of times the youth don't feel like they fit in the community because they feel like everything's adult-dominated and that they might not be as welcome to become involved, or that their ideas may be unorthodox, and they're afraid of putting them forward for fear of being shut down. They might not be involved as much because, and this is kind of a theme throughout all of our answers, was that the youth aren't as in touch, or perhaps they are just as in touch with their parents' heritage, who are often immigrants, as they are with their American side of themselves. And so a lot of times they don't, I feel like there's a gap because they might feel like the communities, the masjids, the organizations are all kind of trying to preserve culture, they're all about culture, and they're kind of avoiding the American side of things. And a lot of the girls discuss that they really want to see more of an American approach or an acceptance of just being something other than culture, you know, maybe focusing especially on Islamic ideals, because a lot of times even that's lacking in our communities. It's more about culture than it is about Islam. And that really pushes the youth away. And that kind of goes to the other questions as well. It's kind of an answer to many of them. Also, you know, just some of the girls mentioned that they feel like the ulama they're older, and so they might not see the struggle that the youth are going through, although, you know, many of them do try. Maybe they're just more focused on the adults, although I know, especially nowadays, I've seen a lot of the ulama reach out to the youth, so we are definitely making improvement. One sec. Okay, specifically to question number two about what the youth are attracted to and why. So the youth are definitely attracted to having responsibility and independence. So if there's something that they can be involved in and they feel like they're responsible, like they're given a job to do at their local mosques or something, like that really helps for the youth to be more attracted. Versus if the youth feel like they're not being given any responsibility, facility, or if they're just, you know, like a pawn, and like just have to come to the youth events instead of actually being involved in the youth events, then that often leads to, you know, youth just not being attracted to those things. And also, you know, like having a voice, we
last
discussed,
minute.
Sorry?
Yeah, one more minute.
Okay. Okay, number three. And divisions. Okay. So yeah, there's also a lot of divisions in our community. Going to number three, like the cultural, it's just all the culture again. Like, I feel like the youth that were raised here are more in touch with people of different cultures and different colors, and they're really fighting to get away from like the prejudices that maybe were passed down earlier, even if those are unconscious, you know, like subconscious prejudices. And so I think that, again, having youth events really helps to, or just youth groups within communities helps youth to become more involved with the other youth from different backgrounds and racial cultural backgrounds. And then just going to number four, the one about the local, the organization and what makes it successful.
A big thing
is having open dialogue with local communities and our non-Muslim neighbors. That's something that we should really stress. And also just having more youth involved in the organizations, because that'll bring a youthful aspect to the organization and also allow it to be more approachable to people who you know, aren't as aware of what Shia Muslims even are. So
very good. Thank you very much. Hello. So you can see that was a youth-driven table right there. All right. So now let's go over here to where? Yeah, number three. Go ahead.
Who is this book?
What about book?
Yeah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. So for the first question, what is driving the lack of engagement among the youth in the local communities? The main cause that we drove down to over here is that youth don't have a sense of pride in the fact that they're Muslim, or they don't have a Muslim identity, might be another way to phrase that. That's the core reason why they aren't even, many may not come to the center to even try to be involved. So I think that's the root cause there. Then when we go further, there's some more practical concerns as far as youth. There's not good leadership in the masjids to get these youth involved. As I think the group over there mentioned, like, we live in a very skeptical, questioning society. When a lot of these kids go to schools, they're asked questions about their faith, and they're unable to answer them. And I think, we discussed that one thing that might help that would be is that if there were more interactive forums in order to get these questions that these kids have answered, and for example, like in a question-answer format or something to that effect. So the second question, what are the youth attracted to and why? So youth are looking for, and I think people in general are looking for, a sense of belonging or a sense of community. And unfortunately, in the masajid, they aren't finding that, and they find that more, you know, in school and in their when they're school friends or with their non-Muslim friends. We took a little bit more of a little literal approach to that question after this, and you know, they're attracted to things like sports and the opposite gender and whatnot. But I think it's really that if we can give youth that sense of community, they will then be more attracted to their centers. Question three, what are the reasons behind racial, cultural, and color divisions within Shia Muslims? Again, the root cause that we drove into for that was really a fear of the unknown, a lack of understanding of other cultures, other races. And so we discussed the fact that under this, when a new person comes to the masjid, from another ethnic background, or if they're a revert, there's a lot of there may be a lot of distrust there just because of the fact that you know, they're different, and that is really the root cause that needs to be addressed to, you know, to create a more inclusive community over there. Question four, so what are the attributes of an Islamic organization that will create the most impact locally and nationally? So if we discussed a couple of things in here, an organization that is that engages, you know, the greater community aside from just the Shia community. So engaging non-Shias, you know, our Sunni brothers or other sects in Islam, and then going outside of the Muslim community perhaps as well. And engaging in, you know, engaging with the you know, greater non-Muslim community as well. Being more multicultural, being able to resolve theological conflicts that that may arise within members of an organization, make the organization more, and finally make the organization more interesting and appealing to the youth.
The last
finally,
minute.
Okay, and then finally, what are suggestions you would have to, for Muslim Congress to be the platform of choice for Shia Muslims in North America? We had a lot of different suggestions for this, but again, to echo what the answer we had to number four was, is to engage the greater Muslim and non-Muslim communities. It's also to make Muslim Congress more of a round the year thing. I know Muslim Congress is already doing that with other camps, but to create more initiatives to make it so that we're not just meeting each other once a year, but engaging with each other, you know, throughout the year. And finally, another suggestion we had was to involve non-alim activists. So there's, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of, you know, really knowledgeable scholars here, and they share their perspective with us. Activists that aren't ulama share a different perspective. Like, for example, at this conference, we had several political activists that, you know, didn't necessarily have a turban on their head, but they had a lot of, you know, really great insights to share. So I think the intersection of having ulama and activists who aren't necessarily ulama brings a new, newer and fresher discourse to the table. And that's it for us.
Your time is up.
Thank you. Salawat. So let's go to table number one, where the gentlemen are over here, and we will get a perspective from them. And all of these, I'm sure, are also being repeated because all of these concerns are amongst all of us. So it doesn't matter if you repeat them, it just shows what's important. So go ahead, brother.
Just make sure before the brothers start, you know, just make sure that you consolidate a sheet. We need it, you know. These are all good suggestions and ideas. And the reason we captured it, because we wanted to make sure we implement those things, right. You know.
All right, number, table number one, go ahead.
All right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So for the first thing, what is discouraging the youth from getting engaged? They lack decent role models, so they don't find something that they can relate to in the masjid. They don't find positivity in some of the programs that they it just doesn't relate to the issues that they're going to. And maybe this is not necessarily the fault of the parents, because maybe if they're immigrants, or even if they went to high school here, like if they came here when they were a teenager, the haram that they had to deal with in high school then is nothing compared to what it is now. And if we're not prepared to have a speaker, English speaker, that can actually not only just speak English fluently, but actually relate to their problems, then they're going to fall into haram. And I've seen this so often. I've seen kids you know, come up to me only because their parents drag them there maybe once a year for Ashura or maybe the Shahadat of Imam Ali, and the first thing they say is, oh, I'm so upset because my girlfriend broke up with me, or they say they don't pray, they don't fast, and it's really on the fault of us. It's parents not taking necessarily full responsibility. because, you know, obviously we should do the wajibat, we should make them do this, but they have to understand why. Because if they don't have the conviction, like this is what's going to happen. They're not going to wind up not praying, not fasting, taking off hijab, all these things, because they don't understand why they're doing it. They're just doing it because they're told. And having speakers that can relate to them will help to instill this conviction. The cultural difference, this plays into it. We invite cultural speakers. I mean, this may be part of the colonial mindset, but we invite people just because they have a PhD in something. They may not know anything about Islam, but if they have a PhD, they're going to speak over. We have a brother from San Diego who went to Hausa for 7 years. He understands the haram of our society. He can relate to our youth. He has not been invited to speak, unfortunately. Technology, you know, they have a lot of technology, so unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of push towards escapism and distraction and everything like that. There's a language barrier, so we can't have only Farsi or only Urdu Majalis. We have to have English programs and also, you know, English that is relatable. For number two, for what relates, what the youth are attracted to, they're obviously attracted to social media, video games, and these may be destructive, but we need to steer them in a positive direction. So instead of them playing video games around negative peer influences who might influence them towards doing haram, we can have video game nights at our own masjid where they're hanging around other Muslims who will not talk about haram, not think about haram. They may be engaging something that, you know, is a little bit, you know, of an escapist thing, but, you know, we all got to be entertained sometimes. They're attracted to, you know, things like activism. They're attracted to inspirational personalities and speakers. And then for the cultural and racial issues, lack of interaction, mistrust, natural cultural preferences, not understanding what Islam has to say about equality, and then putting that into practice. As far, and the last questions are kind of similar. So what a national organization could do could provide tools for other people to engage at a grassroots level. So they take their own initiative rather than waiting for someone to give them order. They can do social services. They can teach people how to grow, you know, organic gardens, to teach kids how to grow food and become, you know, engaged with the community. How to run for office, ideally as an independent, how to run dawah programs, not just for converts, and also how to nurture converts and make sure they stay in the religion, also converts for prisons, so we counter the Wahhabi influence in there. And those are things that Muslim Congress could do also, and provide the guides for local activists. And yeah.
Okay, so time is up.
All right, thank you very much. Table one, a salawat for them. Yeah, now we're down to the last table. Well, actually the last table, then we have the ulama, you know, so we are going to come right now. So table number five over here, we are going to get to you. And as they're getting the mic over there, just to let you all know that this activity we are doing is really important in getting your input. It's your time to speak, and that's why we have this Sunday morning for your time and your view. So go ahead, table number five.
Assalamu alaikum. Well, I'm going to be speaking on the first two since I'm a youth, so I understand this. I think the biggest problem is that youth aren't involved because they don't feel like they have a place in Muslim society. People don't tell youth that, oh, you're important, or you have a role, or you can make a difference. We kind of feel worthless because the community is adult dominated. So I think that's why the youth feel like, even if they are involved, it'll just be useless because no one cares. The point that group one made was really important, that they aren't any role models that the youth can actually look up to or connect to. That's really, really important, because there are a lot of new people going to Hosa and coming back that can relate to the youth. So if we put more focus on them, then the youth can benefit on that as well. For the second one, well, what attracts youth? Okay, this might sound like really conceited, but it's psychologically correct. Youth want attention and lots of it in any form. They just want people to understand them and to know what they're going through, because a lot of parents don't understand that youth growing up in America, it's really, really hard seeing American teenagers every day promote the things that our religion forbids us to do. Like every single day we are going and interacting with these people who are doing these things that we just can't do at all. But you know, peer pressure is a real problem that parents do not understand because of the lack of understanding and the cultural differences. So I feel like if the parents just try to understand what the youth could do with the organizations, and if you reach out to the youth and try to hear their perspective more, that would help. Basically, if youth spoke out more and if they were understood and give more attention, and if they realize that they have a role in society, then they would be more active.
Assalamu alaikum. And I will be addressing questions 3, 4, and 5. So for reasons behind racial culture and cultural and color divisions, first and foremost, I think division and conflict itself is very healthy. So I think behind everything, it's just not realizing that we haven't mastered the art of conflict resolution. And so it's difficult for us to actually step out of our comfort zones and being comfortable, only being comfortable with the people who look and act like us. Often we tend to have a very cultural mindset, which is also a barrier within itself. We don't have many inter-masjid connections, so more of that might help build bridges. And above all, often it's because we lack the spirit of true Muhammadan Islam, so we're kind of divided along national and racial lines. For question number 4, what attributes of an Islamic organization can have impact locally and nationally? First of all, I think we should all envelope ourselves with pure taqwa. That way it's a lot of introspection rather than looking at other people. So then if we have this momentum of coming together, it'll eventually happen. We should have interfaith activities. One important point is having leadership in the hand of righteous ulema. Having more interactive group activities, sharing resources among different communities, so kind of like trickling them down instead of just having them in one place, and being sincere to the cause. Last, for number 4, and I believe that's the most important one, and that's engaging our women, which make up about 50%, and I don't think that they're engaged and reached out to actually help and understand what their issues are, which might actually help the Muslim Congress at large. For how to have MC as Shia national platform, everyone's voice should be heard, even if we don't agree with someone's ideas. Obviously, as long as it's in the values and boundaries of Islam. And we should be able to represent everybody, regardless of color, nationality, so on and so forth. We should have community outreach to either the non-Muslims and Muslims equally. We should start instilling self-love. As I think Brother Dawood Waleed said, we should be confident enough to be a part of this society and feel it. That way we can actually have a national platform. We should also be an all-inclusive organization. Someone mentioned that Muslim Congress can't just be a once a year conference, limited to that. We should throughout the year have locally conducted programs, maybe 2 to 3. That way more and more people get acquainted with the conference, the organization itself.
20 more seconds.
Also, learning how to represent ourselves at a national level. So we do understand that we cannot approach, because of different ideologies, other people cannot represent us, but that should not stop us from representing ourselves. And as long as we can build that self-love, a pure Islamic identity and being proud of it, I think it's a possibility that we can be a national organization and a voice for all Shias of North America. And we should also conduct interfaith dialogues between different faiths, obviously.
All right. Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much. Now we are down to the last stage. So I'm going to ask the ulama table here if they can give their input, because they have also written down some notes. So if I can have the mic over here, please. Thank you. Mic over here. And all right. Just as a reminder, the lunch is going on right now.
Yeah, and we have only 5 minutes. So time starts now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, the discussions among ulama are too long. So we were in the middle of our discussion that the time ended. So I will point out, I have compiled the identifying of the problems, which are 6 problems. I'm compiling the various ideas that the scholars have brought forward. So this is just a summary of that. I apologize if I miss something. There are 6 issues and there are 9 solutions. So I'll just read out those. The first problem is too much ethnic focus. Our centers have focus on their own ethnicities, which is a big problem. And the second problem identified was lack of the sense of belonging. The people don't find the center to be their own center, and they get disoriented, disconnected, and basically turn away from our center. So this is a second problem. The third problem is the lack of confidence in our own potentials. This is also identified as a problem. The fourth is too much petty politics going on in some of those Islamic centers, which is bogging down our progress. The sixth is the ego clashes between people, position holders, organizations, centers, and this is again stopping our advancement as a community. And the sixth problem identified was the lack of unity that was there. So divisions and lack of unity. Now obviously, let's go to the solutions which I have compiled here based on all these ideas and suggestions. First of all, to bring about unity. So unify ourselves for the sake of Islam, the common goals, the common path that we are treading under the leadership. The second solution is building our identity, addressing the identity crisis which is going on, and some people, a segment of our community, have they don't feel proud over their Islamic identity, and this has to be repaired and fixed. The third solution is deculturalizing our Islamic centers. It should not be a center, an organization should not be based on our ethnic backgrounds or our cultural practices, our customs, traditions, should not dominate our center. The cultural practices are only permitted if they fit in within the framework of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So that much cultural practices is acceptable. Anything beyond that is which clashes with Islamic value system should be
one more minute
removed. And the fourth solution is reaching out to our to various organizations, Islamic centers and communities. The sixth solution is promoting the concept of Tawheed in its true sense, and promoting the du'as of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for our spiritual uplift, and presenting the Islamic values in a logical way, and promoting the values of the pure Islam. And the seventh solution was bringing more sports and Islamic movies into the centers to attract the youth. And the seventh solution was fulfilling the needs of the wider community. All sorts of needs that they have need to be addressed. A center should be a focal point where all the needs of the community are addressed. And then the ninth solution was discussing issues in our centers and conferences and gatherings and camps which are relevant to our youth and touching their everyday lives. And the tenth and the last solution was bringing qualified scholars only, strictly on the member. Thank you.
If you can, thank you. So that that brings to an end, you know, this session that we had here, even talked about hour and a half, is really important to get an input, your input, and that's why it's called your time and your voice. This is the first time that we're having it here, and we want to continue to have it here so we can improve, and hopefully some of the issues that we have here can be scratched up and say, hey, we achieved it last year, and we really want to pay attention to what you have done. You have a question, sister? Yes. We all these things in writing. You can ask him. All right. Very good. So what we do is that, you know, right now we'll go for lunch and we have to convene again for the prayer at 1:30. So inshallah, let's make our way for lunch. Thank you for participating in your time.